It's the Pittsburgh Tech Report, the weekly snapshot of technology trends, newsmakers, and research in our region. I'm Mark Newbar, 90.5 WESA. In tech headlines, the University of Pittsburgh Swanson School of Engineering has been awarded more than $1.25 million by the U.S. Department of Energy to conduct collaborative research to enhance innovative nuclear technologies. Pitt's Kevin Chen will lead the effort to develop sensors that can be placed in a nuclear reactor's core to improve safety and efficiency. The school says the work will focus on the fabrication of optic sensors using additive manufacturing and advanced laser fabrication techniques. NATO Secretary General says the 29-member alliance is supplying hardware to the Ukrainian government to help protect its government networks from cyber attacks. He declined to offer any specifics other than to say the gear would, quote, help Ukraine investigate who was behind the different attacks. Kiev blames Russia for the intrusions, charges the Kremlin denies. This week, the Tech Report looks at an artificial lung you can wear. Artificial lungs have been around for decades, but they are usually large devices that force the patient to stay in a hospital room until their lungs improve or a set of donor lungs can be found. But University of Pittsburgh Medical Devices Laboratory Director Bill Federspiel says the time has come to offer patients a more mobile option.
The idea of having a wearable device is that it's pretty well established in the literature. If you can get these patients up and moving around, they do better, whether it's recovering from their illness or they do better with their post-transplant outcomes.
An artificial lung at the most basic level takes blood out of a patient, passes it over a porous fiber filled with oxygen gas, and then pumps the now oxygenated blood back into the patient.
What distinguishes this technology is that we've combined the blood pump and the lung into one compact unit, so that they would be able to ambulate in the clinical setting.
The blood pump incorporated into the oxygenation unit is spun by magnets in a motor about the diameter of a small coffee can and a third of its height. The entire unit can be worn on a vest or a belt. That means it takes less blood out of the patient to fill the tubing and the device. By doing that, one device could be used in three types of patients.
A low-flow CO2 removal device for the adult population. We're talking anywhere between 100,000 and 300,000 patients per year in the U.S. The same device could serve as a higher flow oxygenation device for adults in between 10,000 and 50,000 patients. And then the same device could serve as an oxygenation device for the pediatric population, which is even a smaller market.
A device that only works in children might not be commercially viable, but adding in the other populations, you could make it possible to save the lives of children that otherwise would not have access to such a device. Federspiel says the hope is to improve the device over time to allow the patient to go home while using the device. In the meantime, he says they will continue to work on perfecting the fibers that oxygenate the blood.
We've designed it for more efficient gas exchange than commercial oxygenators, probably 2 to 3 times more efficient. The second secret sauce is part of this project. We're developing novel proprietary biocompatible coatings to make these fibers more blood compatible than they normally are.
Which means they will work better for a longer period of time before needing to be replaced. The wearable artificial lung is being tested in animals. If all goes well with those trials, and if he can raise the financial support he needs, Federspiel says the first human trial could begin in as little as 2 years. And that's this week's Tech Report. I'm Mark Newbar, 90.5 WESA News.
Pittsburgh Tech Report is supported by Ansys, developing engineering simulation software for clients worldwide since 1970.